Here's a preview of what's coming up today on The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman.
He is the vine dresser. God will cut off dead branches in the church, branches that do not bear fruit. God will prune. He'll pull up weeds. He'll dig around. He'll fertilize that we might bear more fruit. And sometimes we wonder, oh, what's going on? COVID-19. And it's a horrific virus. Thousands have lost their lives. I don't mean to downplay that. But I tell you, God is doing a work in the midst of that, and that he's pruning, and that he's working, that we might bear more fruit to his glory. You made us strong, Lord. For what reason? So we can impress the world? No, for yourself.
Dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place. You are my dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place.
I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, many of my friends had secret clubs. Remember that? Part of the fun in belonging to a secret club was keeping those you didn't like from joining. Sounds kind of mean, but that's how it was. Today on The Dwelling Place, Pastor Al Pittman takes us to the 11th chapter of Acts, and we're going to learn about a club that is the exact opposite of those clubs we had as kids. Christianity is for everyone. The only requirement is faith in Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible handy, join us in Acts 11 as we go now to Pastor Al Pittman.
Husbands and wives, you're on the same team. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we're on the same team. And we ought to build each other up in the Lord. God has granted repentance to life, liberty to all who put their faith in him, in Christ. And this is true liberation, faith in Christ. Freedom, because it affords us freedom from judgment. That's what it means to be liberated in Christ. Freedom from judgment, from the penalty of sin. It grants to us the everlasting forgiveness that God grants to us through faith in Jesus Christ. There's no condemnation. John tells us that in Christ we have the right to be called children of God. You're God's child, amen. He has provided for you a throne of grace whereby you can come boldly, not sheepishly like, oh God, I messed up again. Come boldly. He's my daddy. Amen. And he loves me and he cares about me, amen. You've been liberated to come boldly, not because of what you've done or your ability, but because of what Jesus Christ has done for you on the cross. So come boldly. Why? Because you've been liberated. That's why it's always, I understand it because I've been there. Why Christians, when they mess up, they don't run to their father's arms. Run back to your daddy, amen? His arms are stretched out still. He loves you with an everlasting love. He says nothing will separate you from his love. He said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. I know your boyfriend told you that, but he's gone now. But Jesus will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Run to his arms. But what do? We run away from him. We don't go to church, stop reading the Bible, go back to the clubs. But when his seed is in you, you're impregnated with the Holy Spirit, the seed of God, you can be in the club if you want, but you can't do those moves like you used to. It just don't flow. You know what I'm saying? You just can't get that. You just, because you get convicted. Amen. You get convicted. Somebody come up to you and they're, sharing their problems. You know what the answer is. It's Jesus. But you're out there incognito, but you just can't get it going like you used to. Why? Because you're impregnated with the Spirit of God. And you can make your bed in hell. But David said, where can I go from your presence? We have liberty in Christ. Romans 10:13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord, whoever. What about me, Pastor? You don't know what I've done. Whoever shall be saved. Now, armed with this knowledge, they finally get it. The light bulb comes on. With this knowledge, the church explodes. It blows up in a good way. And we read here in verse 19, now those who were scattered at the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia. Phoenicia is modern-day Lebanon and southern Syria. Cyprus is the island 60 miles off the coast of Syria and in the Mediterranean Sea. And Antioch, this is Antioch of Syria. Antioch was one of the largest cities in the Roman Empire. And, of course, it's located in southeastern modern-day Turkey today. And so that's how far the gospel went. But notice, as it went to the Jews only. The word, it went to no one but the Jews only. That was after the persecution of, or the stoning of Stephen. Excuse me. But notice, you can't keep good news to yourself. But some of them were men from Cyprus. Now, Cyprus had a was an island, a nation, but it had strong Greek influence. And so people from Cyprus were considered to be Gentiles. And even the Hellenists, as we'll see here in a moment, the Hellenists were people who were influenced by the Greek culture. But people came from Cyprus preaching the gospel, and Cyrene. Cyrene is modern-day Libya, you know, west of Egypt, northern Africa. From that far came who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, those Grecian Jews, if you will, people who were born in Greece, they were Jewish descent, but they were born in Greece, and preaching the Lord Jesus. Verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. So these Jews and Gentiles are coming to the Lord. The church is blowing up, if you will. And then, it says here in verse 22, the news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas, a good guy to send out. His name means son of encouragement. Sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch, and when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all, that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he, Barnabas, was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. The church is blowing up. Why? Because it's liberty for all. Jews and Gentiles coming to the Lord. Amen. And all of this, verse 21 tells us, is by the hand of the Lord. Verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them. God's hand established all of this. And it's good to know, and I'm just a reminder to you, a reminder to myself, that Calvary Worship Center has been established by the hand of God. Calvary Worship Center was not established by Pastor Al. When my family and I came up here 23 years ago and started pastoring the church, and sometimes you'll see that in churches. It's not wrong. I'm just saying it's kind of interesting because I think from God's perspective, because it is a pastor and founder. You didn't find nothing. God established the church. Amen? His hand established this vineyard. His hand established the word, which gives me great confidence because I know that when people come against us, they're not coming against us, they're coming against God. And God has established you in his vineyard. And when people come against you, they're not coming against you, they're coming against God. And what God establishes cannot be moved. Amen. And so we can take great hope in that. This is a work that God was doing. It wasn't, you know, they had a great marketing plan and all of this kind of stuff. And they went up to Antioch and they're sending, you know, Barnabas up to follow up on the sales or whatever, you know. This was established by the hand of God. We shouldn't miss that point. The Bible says in Psalm 80, return, we beseech you, O Lord of hosts, look down from heaven and see and visit this vine and the vineyard which your right hand has planted and the branch that you made strong for yourself. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me and you'll bear much fruit. God establishes the branches in the vineyard so that for himself, for his own glory. He is the husbandman or the vine dresser. God will cut off dead branches in the church. Branches that do not bear fruit. God will prune. He'll pull up weeds. He'll dig around. He'll fertilize that we might bear more fruit. And sometimes we wonder, oh, what's going on? COVID-19. And it's a horrific virus. Thousands have lost their lives. I don't mean to downplay that. But I tell you, God is doing a work in the midst of that. And that he's pruning. And that he's working. That we might bear more fruit to his glory. You made us strong, Lord. What reason? So we can impress the world? No, for yourself. In verses 22 to 24, the church in Jerusalem, of course, they send him down there. And Jerusalem was the headquarters. They send Barnabas down at this time to Antioch. And when Barnabas gets there, the Bible says that when he sees their sees the grace of God upon them. And I wonder, how did they see the grace of God upon them? Did they have Grace of God Upon Me t-shirts? Did they have, you know, name tags? I mean, how did he see the grace of God upon them? I'll tell you how. It's really simple. By the way they treated each other. When people come to this fellowship, I hear it a lot, you know, hey, when I first walked in, I really sensed the Spirit of God. Why? It's because you guys are emitting the fragrance of Christ. How are you emitting the fragrance of Christ? By the way you treat one another. So here he sees the grace of God upon them because he's got Jews and Gentiles loving each other, embracing each other in the Lord, respecting each other, praying for each other, caring for each other.
Pastor Al has more to share with us from Acts 11, so stay tuned.
As we roll into 2021, it's good for you to review your finances. But what about your spiritual investments? Pastor Al Pittman's book about Revelation puts a bright light on a wise plan.
There's a lot of people doing works in the name of the Lord, but there's to glorify themselves and not God. And our works will be tried by fire to see if they're of gold and precious metals or if they're of wood, hay, and stubble. God knows the real motivation of your heart.
Revelation, Earth's Final Chapter, is a book that will take you through the amazing final words of the Bible. Remember, you can still adjust how your life ends.
And he invites everyone to his wedding feast. The question is, and mankind would have to ask every one of us here today, have we accepted his invitation?
Get your copy of Revelation, Earth's Final Chapter by Al Pittman, where you buy books or online at cwccs.org.
Oh, this is what we've been waiting for. This glorious day, return of Jesus Christ to the earth.
Now to wrap up our message in Acts chapter 9, titled Liberty for All, here's Pastor Al.
The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Liberation in Jesus Christ, liberation means that I'm free to love other people. I'm free to love those who are different than me. Why? Because I'm liberated. It takes so much more energy to walk in hatred. Oh, you got to make sure that when you see that person that you got a frown on your face. You know, could be laughing, be, then you see him. You know, I mean, it's like, it takes so much effort. But when you're free, I mean, I know there's people who don't care a lot about me. I get that. Jesus said, be careful when all men speak well of you. You're going to make somebody mad if you're preaching the truth. I get that. But there's no animosity in my heart toward anybody because I'm liberated. And you can hate on me all you want. I'm just going to love you. I'm just going to love you. Didn't say sometimes it wasn't easy, but I'm just saying I'm going to love you. Amen. But that's what liberation means. I mean, he saw the liberty in the church, saw them liberated people loving each other. That's what it means here. He saw grace, the grace of God upon them. Emitting the fragrance of Christ into the atmosphere. Paul says it well in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. He says, here's what really matters. I'm paraphrasing, but this part I'm not. He says, here's what really matters. Faith working through love. What matters in the church is our programs. We have this. Hey, our stage is nice. No. What matters is faith working through love. And that's what it takes for us to interact and to love each other. Because some people aren't that lovable, and by faith, you got to love them. Not none of you guys. I mean, it's those first service people. Ooh. No, I'm kidding. Just teasing. I did that one time and somebody got mad at me. You know, I go to first service. I go, just joking, man. Lighten up. Amen. But faith working in love. That's what matters. Barnabas, he encouraged them. He gave them primarily one word of encouragement. Here's what he told them. He said, follow the Lord with purpose of heart. I love that. You have to follow the Lord with purpose of heart. You can't just come to church and just think, well, I'm going to change. Because you have to come with faith, with a heart of expectation. A lot of people come to church, they don't expect anything. And if the pastor doesn't wow them or speak on their topic or their subject, they walk out just as empty as when they walked in. But when you walk in with a heart of expectation to hear from the Lord, God will speak to you. He's got a word for everyone in here. If you have ears to hear, like Jesus said, let him hear. And so we have to be intentional. I came up with this little phrase, and I'm sure somebody else has said it before, but intentionality makes Jesus a reality in your life. Intentionality makes Jesus a reality in your life. You've got to be intentional about following Jesus Christ. You're not going to just fall out of bed in the morning and be a mature Christian. You can't just come to church and sit in here like sitting in an oven like a biscuit thinking I'm going to get brown. Ding! You know, timer goes off and hour and a half service, now I can go home and, hey, I'm kind of cooked. No, you're just half-baked. Amen. No, we really, sometimes we think, by coming to church, I'm cooking, you know. It's my personal relationship with Jesus apart from this place in my own life. That's where I'm growing. And if I don't have intentionality, you know what I'll be? I'll be lukewarm. And I'll expect everybody else to do things for me. I have a spirit of entitlement. And I come to church to see what people can do for me rather than what God can do through me for other people. So intentionality is so important. Let's read about intentionality here in 1 Corinthians. Paul talks about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. I'm going to read it quickly here for the sake of time. He says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize?" Amen. And he says, "Run in such a way that you may obtain it." Now, if you show up in the Olympics and you're in the, I don't know, 50-yard, 100-yard dash or whatever, some of these speedsters, these guys got these muscular thighs and, you know, kicking their legs out and getting on the blocks and all that, and you show up in your, you know, play clothes, your jeans and tennis shoes and T-shirt, and the gun goes off, you're there to jog, they're there to win. And sometimes I think Christians show up like that to church, or they show up in their own walk. They're just kind of, "I'm just there. I'm here to jog." No, this is a race. You have to run with intentionality to win, not just to, you know, get halfway, make it. Paul says, you don't run this way. He said, "And everyone," verse 25 of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, "and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things." I watch the way that I live my life and what I allow into my life. "Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air." Amen. Did you know you're in a fight? I was talking to a friend the other day, and he said, "You know what? It was kind of interesting." He said, "Hey, remember January 2020? All these pastors coming out with these messages, you know, 2020 vision in 2020. And he said, "It kind of reminds me of Mike Tyson's quote, you know, about fighters going into the ring. Says everybody has a strategy until they get punched in the mouth." And COVID-19 punched the church right in the mouth. And where did the church go? Where's the church? We got punched dead in our mouth. No, we should have shut down. We should have done all that. You know, and the curb was flattened and all that, and the curb has been flattened. But now it's time to be about our Father's business. But we got punched in the mouth, did we not? Nobody saw that coming. I know I did. 2020 vision for 2020. Let me give you 3 points. You know, God said, "Point this. I got something's coming that's going to really rock your faith." And it did. But praise God, He's still on the throne. We're still moving forward. God is still good. Amen? Amen. So Paul says, "I fight, man, not as somebody that's beating at the air, you know. But I'm fighting with intentionality. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified." That's not losing your salvation, but there are rewards God wants to give to us. Our works are going to be tested by fire, the Bible says. You know that. And God's going to reward us for things, but you'll lose that reward if you don't beat your body under, if you don't run with intentionality. And there's a lot of pastors who've pastored churches, some of them you know, that ran and they have done all these great things for God, but because they didn't beat their bodies under, they've lost their reward. They didn't lose their salvation, but they've lost that reward. You have to run with intentionality. And the Bible says that many came to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the latter part of verse 24, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Amen. Great many people were liberated. Now, let me wrap this up quickly here, but in conclusion, here's what I want to leave you with. True liberty is not found in me pleasing myself, but in me pleasing the Lord. True liberty is not found in in being a slave to myself, but being a slave to Jesus Christ. I'm never more free than when I'm a bondservant. I'm a slave of Christ. This is what the Bible says. This is how the Bible says it. And Paul talks about it here in Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 20. He says, "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. You did your thing. It was your thing. You did what you wanted to do." Amen. And then he said, "But what fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit in holiness, in relationship with God. And the end of that is everlasting life." And then, of course, famous verse, many of us know it, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." That, my friend, is true liberation through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Today, as I said, we remember those who in this life have demonstrated the extreme of what we call today, coined today, social distancing. Men and women who have laid down their lives for our nation, who have been distanced, if you will, by laying down their lives from their loved ones and from the things, the freedoms that we enjoy today. Jesus said it well when he said in John 15, "Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." And you'll find a monument to those who laid their lives down. You'll find them socially distanced in every national cemetery, like Arlington and Fort Logan, and even in our newly opened national cemetery, Pikes Peak National Cemetery. Row after row after row, socially distanced so that we can enjoy the freedoms we have today. But the greatest act of social distancing occurred on the cross when Jesus was separated from his Father. My God, why have you forsaken me?" He was separated from the Father because he was bearing my sin, our sins. That is the greatest act of social distancing. He laid his life down that all, not some, but that all who put their faith in him might be liberated, might know true liberty.
This has been The Dwelling Place, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Al Pittman, Senior Pastor at Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. If you enjoy Pastor Al's teaching ministry, we have some good news for you. You can listen, watch, or download an archive of past messages with a simple mouse click at cwccs.org. Just click the Messages tab at the top of the page. And while you're checking out our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device and take Pastor Al wherever you go. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com, and you can find One Place on the internet and with a search on your Alexa or Google Play-enabled device. Have you considered becoming a financial supporter of The Dwelling Place? We count on your support to keep this radio ministry going and growing. You can support this program with a one-time gift or become a monthly supporter. If you'd like to join our support team, you can do so at our website, cwccs.org. Or by texting the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center. You'll find a helpful video, directions, and the current schedule we have for limited access live services at cwccs.org. And no matter where you are, you can watch our services via live streaming right there at our website. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and join us next time for another study with Pastor Al Pittman, presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado.